Exodus chapter number 3. We're going to look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. He said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." Look at verse number 13 with me, if you would. Same chapter, chapter 3. The Bible says, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." Let's pray this morning. Father, we pray that you just help us this morning. Lord, help me to just say exactly what you want me to say. Lord, I pray that this would just be a blessing to everyone that's in here this morning. I think it could be applied in every life, in every situation. And Lord, I know it's applicable to me, to my life. And God, I pray that you would just help me to convey what you've laid on my heart this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You're going to have to forgive me this morning. I've been kind of, I don't know, ever since the youth conference, I've been kind of weepy. So, which I'm pretty easy to do that anyway. So just, I got a whole pile of tissues up here. So, but this morning I want to talk about this subject, their God to my God. Let me ask you, we got a lot of young people here this morning. See, I told you, see? Young people that rode in the buses, young people that drive in with your parents. This could be applied to adults in here. This is not just a teenage message by any means, because it's applicable to me. But I've often wondered, what is the reason that of all these young men sitting up here this morning, and all these young ladies sitting here this morning, or throughout the crowd, what is the reason that in 10 years, nine of these will not be in this room? I'm not talking about, now listen to me, young people, I'm not talking about just those that ride on the bus. I'm talking about out of 9 out of 10, those that ride on the bus, this is for you. Those that don't ride on the bus, this is for you. 9 out of 10. You say, how do you come up with that statistic? This is 2016. 2006, I was a senior in high school. 10 years ago. Brother Levi, 9 out of 10 of the ones that were sitting in this room when I was a senior in high school are not in here. That's the statistic. That's not, and every generation can say that. Yeah, you might have some generations that have 7, 8. That's a better odd. But you're going to have some generations that are 10 for 10. None of them are here. Like it, lump it, but that's the fact. You want me to go get the yearbooks? Do you want me to go get the Sunday school records? Where your name is put down there. But 9 out of 10 will not be here. That's just from my generation. 2006, I was a senior in high school. I graduated. What is it? I think it is a there's a lot of things. I'm not defining this all to one thing. But there is one thing I think that could be said, and it all has to do with English. Brother Chad, now don't go all teacher on me. Don't worry, I'm not a teacher. It's in the use of pronouns. You know, there are three cases of pronouns, right, Mrs. B? There is, I have no clue. I don't remember what they are. I only remember the ones I'm going to talk about this morning. So don't ask me, all right?
But there's possessive. There's a thing called personal possessive pronouns. Mm-hmm. My, mine, you, you, he, she, it, their, theirs. No, not, I'm sorry. My, mine, your, yours, her, her, hers, its, their, theirs. Those are called personal possessive pronouns. Okay? In our society, we misuse personal possessive pronouns. Now, I'm getting somewhere with this. Right? How many has a favorite sports team? You know, by the way, I just heard about this the other day. There's a guy named Curry. Have you ever heard of a guy named Curry? Stephen Curry? Yeah, not very many of you. Don't worry, I didn't either. Well, he's like the biggest thing in sports right now. And he made a team that I had never even heard of. Some, like, Oklahoma something. I was like, I didn't even know Oklahoma had a basketball team. But they won the NBA title, okay? Like I said, this guy's an insane basketball player. Well, I never heard of him. But how many has a favorite? Okay, it could be football. How many has a favorite football team? Okay. All right. What's your favorite football team, Brother Nathan?
Colts.
Okay. Good. Good. All right. Colts. So that's his favorite football team, right? Now, did you notice the word I used? His. All right. Okay. I'm going to leave that alone. How many has a favorite basketball team? All right. Natty, what's your favorite basketball team? IU. All right. What did I say? What's your favorite basketball team? You know, I'm not a big sports person. I don't watch sports a whole lot. I haven't watched a complete football game in 3 years, 4 years, something like that. Some of you guys, and that's fine. I just don't get into the whole football thing. But it never ceases to amaze me how a football team, multi-million-dollar football team, or multi-million-dollar basketball team is suddenly your team. Well, that's my team. So how'd your team do this week? Oh, we won. We won? You were sitting on the couch. No, but we won. We stomped them! Okay. All right. Good for you. But you know what I mean? Everybody, you have a personal... You apply things that... They are not yours. Okay? You do not pay a single dollar unless you go to one of their games to help them. And really, very little of that probably really goes to them. You buy their gear. You know, you all wear the jerseys that have, you know, the name of the player in your fantasy football league that you really want to be. All right? But they're not your players, are they? Do you own that team?
No.
No. Do you play on that team? Do you give a cup of water to anyone on that team? No. You're not even the water boy. In fact, you don't even clean the stadium. All right? You have nothing to do with that team, but you know what? It's my team. Don't bash my team. I've seen guys almost getting fist fights over my team. But you know what? Is it your team? No. I was at my in-laws. My mother-in-law is here today, all right? So I'm going to make some mother-in-law jokes. But I was at my in-laws for, was it Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving. So I'm sitting there, and they're big OU fans, Ohio State University, okay, Buckeyes, football. So they're sitting there, and they're like, come on, you can watch the game with us. I'm like, all right. Her dad was down there working. I was like, I'd really rather go work, which if you know me, it's kind of, I'd just rather go work on something. But I was like, all right, I'll watch a little bit. And I had to leave. I did. I'm sitting there watching, you know, I'm watching this, you know, watching football. And all of a sudden, they're like, yeah! Did you see that? And there's a guy named Boza on their team. I guess he's a pretty good football player. He's like, yeah, he smashed him. We just nailed him. I'm like, he did not. You don't even know the guy, all right? And they're getting all excited, and they're yelling at the refs and all kinds of stuff, and it's like, it's a TV. They can't hear you. But you know why? Because that was their team. That was their team. I got some papers here this morning just to help me illustrate this. So you can see these things. All right. These are called third person, personal possessive pronouns. What does that mean, Brother Chad? That means that if I'm talking about you to somebody else, these are the pronouns that I use. Okay? If I'm talking to you, I have two pronouns, you, your, and yours. Those are my personal possessive second person pronouns. These are personal possessive third person pronouns. Personal possessive first person pronouns are my and mine. So if I'm talking about something that I own, my suit, my pocket knife, my truck, this is what I use. If I'm talking to you, let's say about Brother Jeff's van, I would say his van. If I said my mom's car, hers, theirs. Does that make sense? This is the difference in the two pronouns. They're in the same case, they're all possessive. So that means you own those, or they belong to you. But what I want to talk to you this morning, and I'm being serious, and when I say that 9 out of 10 of you young people will not be sitting here in 10 years. And the difference is, you have never made their God my God. You've never made their God my God. You've never made Daddy's God my God. You've never made Mommy's God my God. You've never made Pastor's God my God. You've never made my bus captain's God my God. That is the difference. If you will, notice in chapter number 3, verse number 6. The Bible says, moreover, he said, I am the God of what? Thy father. That would be in archaic, that would be second person, personal possessive. Thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. At this point in Moses' life, I don't believe that this is the first encounter that we have that Moses ever had personally with God. Up to this point, Moses' life had been steered and directed by the unseen hand of God. But right here, Moses is personally seeing the hand and the power of God in the burning bush. Moses didn't have any control over being put in a basket. Moses didn't have any control over who got that basket out of the water. Moses didn't have any control over what he... In fact, he sinned. He killed a man. But all this was God's unseen hand moving Moses to Mount Horeb, where he could see God's hand. But even here, he says, the God of thy father. Who was Moses' father? He was a Levite. The God of thy father. Young people, the God of thy father. The God of Abraham. The God of Jacob. The God of Isaac. Or Isaac, Jacob. But he never says, your God. Flip over, if you would, to chapter 4. One page over. And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe, here it is again, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. Still not his God. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign.
And it shall come to pass that they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Verse number 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore, since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. What happened here? He just went from the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, to my God. Oh Lord, my God. My Lord. Young people, listen to me very carefully. And I'm just not saying this. This is truth. There has to be a time in your life when you go from taking the God of your parents to making it your God. Adults, this is true to us. You know what I find myself doing? I work for Pastor Jerry Ross. As far as an employee, as a pastor, I couldn't have a better pastoral employer. And you know what I want to be to him? I want to be what Joshua was to Moses. I just want to be whatever he needs, I want to do it. But what I find so often is I do what I do sometimes, not for God. I do what I do for preacher. That's fine, I'm doing what's right. But what happens? Let me ask you this. What happens if he's gone? What happens if God moves him to another ministry? What happens if God would, heaven forbid, take his life? Then the person that I am doing what's right for is no longer there. Who do I do what's right for? If you do what's right because you want to please your parents, that's great, and that's a worthy thing. But what happens when you move out? Young people, you do what's right because your bus captain encourages you. Look up here. You do what's right because your bus captain encourages you and pushes you to do things. But you know what happens? Why is it that when they get 7th, 8th, 9th grade, they just... Because you don't have... Yeah, you may have God living inside of you, but you don't have a God. He's not your God personally. You know, as adults, like I said, sometimes I want to please pastor. Should that be the motive, though, for my service to God? No. I don't want to disappoint my mom and dad. But should that be the motive for my service to God? No. You know, Abraham believed God, and he was willing to offer his son as a sacrifice. He had a personal encounter with God. Isaac, if you look in Genesis chapter 26, reconfirmed the covenant with God. He had a personal encounter with God. Jacob, he had a personal encounter with God. He wrestled with God and wouldn't let him go until he blessed him. That's when his name was changed to Israel. He had a personal encounter with God. Let me make this statement. Every generation must make the God of their fathers their God. Every generation. Because if a generation skips, you lose that generation. Do you know why there's still young people here that are serving God? Because they made the God of their fathers, my God. If you don't go from their God to my God, you'll be gone in no time. It's what we do. I'm guilty of it. I serve the God of my fathers. I serve the God of my pastor. But at some point, you know, folks, we have to go from serving the God of my fathers, from serving the God of Pastor Robert Ross, from serving the God of Pastor Jerry Ross, from serving the God of the good deacons and the good elders in this church. We have to go from that to serving my God. It's the same God, but he has to be personal. He has to be personal. Young people, sometimes we serve the God of our parents simply to make our parents happy. We serve the God of our pastor because we don't want to disappoint him. We serve the God of our youth group because we just want to fit in. We serve the God of our bus captain because of the relationships that we have with him. This is all good and well, but it will not last. It will not last. There used to be young men that sat here, wore shirt and tie. I'm talking about kids that rode in on the bus as young people. They're not here. Why? Because they didn't ever get a personal relationship with God. Who's your God? Who's your God? I want to show you just a few things. We're going to go through the Bible here, and we're going to look at some things here this morning. But I want you to keep that in mind as we go to Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter number 2. Verse number 6. Judges chapter 2, verse number 6. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah, they lived while they served God while Joshua. Because you know why? Because they served Joshua's God. They served God while the elders were alive. You know why? Because they were serving the God of their elders. But when they were all gone, they turned aside and went after Balaam. Why? Because they never developed a personal relationship with God. And I'm going to tell you how at the end. It's practical. It's simple. The youngest person in here can do this. It's not something you're going to do one moment up here at the altar. This is something you got to go in a closet and you got to pray until you get a hold of God. But I will tell you about it here at the end. Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Deuteronomy chapter number 4, verse number 24. Thank you for listening, young people. You're doing a good job this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 24. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image, or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God, to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land, whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there shall ye shall serve gods, the works of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. All right, look at verse number, we're going to skip down to verse number, sorry here. Verse number 37. Bible says, and because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee, and that thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong the days upon thy earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. You know what God basically, and we didn't read the whole thing. God says, I want to destroy you.
I'm going to let the Midianites. You know what the whole book of Judges is? It's a big roller coaster. It is. The whole book of Judges is a big roller coaster for the children of Israel. They left God, and so they, you know what they do? God sends somebody in to punish them. And then they go back to God and say, God, we need you to be our God. And so God sends the judges, Samson and Ehud and Shamgar and all these other judges. He sends the judges, and they serve God. Look at every single one that I'm talking about. They serve God as long as that judge is alive. Do you know what the problem is? They're not serving their God. They're serving the God of Samson. They're serving the God of Gideon. They're serving the God of Deborah and Barak. They're serving the God of Shamgar. They're serving the God of Ehud. They're not serving my God. Serving his God. Their God. They're not serving my God. That's the difference right there. Brother Chad, how can I make God my God? Well, I'm glad you asked. How can I make God my God? Because, you know, folks, more than anything, I want God to be my God. I love the God of my mom and my dad. My dad would bow on his knees and I'd watch him pray to his God. And he'd pray for me. You know why, young people, why your life is the way it is and why you've been blessed the way you are? I'd say 99.5% of you, it's because, not because of your God, my God, it's because of the God of your mom and dad. My dad prayed for me all the time. Young people, look up here, that are on a bus. You know why you're in church today? It's not because of my God, is because of Brother Levi's God, Brother Jeff's God, Brother Roger's God, Brother Val's God. That's why you're here today. And you know why you won't be here in 10 years? It's not because Brother Levi's God has ever changed. It's not because Brother Jeff's God has ever changed. It's not because Brother Val's God has ever changed or Brother Roger's God has ever changed. It's because you never got my God. Brother Chad, how does God become my God? I'm going to stand here before you this morning and say, I don't know that if it's one instance in your life, I don't think it just comes down to one instance in your life. Well, I just can't live the Christian life. Listen, folks, I've heard people say, I just can't do it. It's just too hard. Well, are you trying to live for the God of your mom, your dad, your husband, your wife? Or are you living for your God, my God? What are you living for? My God. Brother Chad, how does their God become my God? Go back to Exodus chapter number 3. I'm sorry, chapter number 4. Exodus chapter number 4. And I'm not being spooky here this morning at all. This is real stuff. But how does, and we're going to look at the life of Moses here. How does their God, how does the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and my father, how does it go from their God to my God? Let's look at what happened to Moses. We already read most of the story. Moses chapter 4, first thing that happens. God said, hey, Moses, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? He said, it's a rod. Whose rod is that? My rod. So Moses, you want the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac to be your God? Moses said, yeah, well, if you're going to go with me, I guess I need to. I'm paraphrasing here. He said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground. Whoa, whoa. And I don't know what kind of snake it was. But I don't like surprise, being surprised by a snake, period. I don't care what kind of snake it is. And then God said, well, pick it up. You crazy? First step right here. How does the God of my parents become my God? Well, there's one thing. There's one thing, and there's a lot of, you could apply all kind obedient. You could say, well, he had to be obedient. Well, he had to be, you know, probably the young people all thought I was going to preach the same thing, Brother Cooper. I read from the same passage that he did for the youth thing. I was like, no, I won't re-preach his message. But, you know, God told Moses to take his shoes off. That was the first step that he, before Moses could ever be used, he had to take his shoes off. And that was good. But he threw his rod down and grabbed it and picked it back up and it became a staff again. Moses was like, all right. That was a cool trick. But it didn't really affect Moses any, did it? He could have ran away from the stick. Couldn't he? Could he have ran away from the stick? Yes or no? Yes. Thank you. He could have grabbed another stick and beat the snot out of it. I'm not sure what it would have turned into if he killed it. But he could have killed it. But did that really affect Moses? No, not a whole lot. But then God said, Moses, take your hand, stick it inside your jacket. So he did. He was obedient, which he should be. He said, pull it out again. Pull it out again. It was leprous. If you know anything about leprosy, once you're leprous, you're done in this age of the world. You are the walking dead. People avoid you like you have the plague, which you do. Can Moses get away? No. He's stuck with it. God says, all right, stick it back in. He sticks it back in. Pulls it back out, and it's perfect again. Only then, verse number 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. Brother Chad, what changes it from their God to my God? Listen to me very carefully. This is the crux of the message. I don't have 4 points. This is it, okay? You must see the power of God in your life. That's the difference here. You must see God do something special for you. Amen. Because unless you see God do something special for you, it's always, well, yeah, God blessed us this week, but it's always because of the prayer of my daddy. Or the prayer of, well, if Pastor Ross is praying for this too, then God answered Pastor Ross's prayer. But wait a second. You know, young people, this is why I think going to Bible college is such a, it's a huge deal. Go a year. Because you get away from the prayers of all these people. Where you can't, they don't see what's going on in your life, and they don't necessarily, you know that they don't, you're going to have heartaches at Bible college that you won't have anywhere else. I don't remember single stinking thing I learned from Bible college. I'm just being truthful with you. I got all my notebooks. I've written out all my notes. I graduated salutatorian of my college class. Aced everything except Spanish, and I just didn't like the Spanish teacher. But you know what? Listen. But at some point in college, there was a couple times when Pastor's God. Pastor wasn't there to pray for me. Pastor wasn't there to cry for my bus kids. It had to be my God. And the nice thing, and I'm glad when people turn in prayer requests, but at some point, there needs to be some prayer requests that nobody else knows about. Young people, you got to have something that you want from God that you don't tell anybody about. There's got to be something that you want God to do in your life that nobody else knows about. There's got to be some heartache that you're going through that nobody else knows about. Nobody else was standing there with Moses when he stuck his... Listen, Abraham wasn't standing there with Moses when he stuck his hand in his shirt. Jacob wasn't standing there with Moses when he stuck his hand in his shirt. Isaac wasn't standing... His daddy was not standing there to pray for him. It was God and Moses. When are you gonna find a place where it's just you and God and there is nobody else? Because if you don't, it's like, oh, that's just a game. That's just a thing for old people. You know why the senior saints are still in here? Why the older folks are still in here? Because Brother Charles, at some point, it did this. It was my God. Mrs. Ali, at some point, she had to have something special from God that only God could do for her and Brother Forrest. It's not a one-time, I'm going to go up to the altar and I'm going to pray that. No. It's a you and God thing. Richard, are you sure about that? Look at verse number 29. Chapter 4, verse 29. You need to, listen, you need to see something special from God. It needs to be everybody gets spooky when they say a sign. It's not writing on the wall, but it's something, when you know it, you know it. And it's only for you. I have written down here, it must be something that God does for me. I must see the sign. I must see the power. You know why the children of Israel left serving God? Is because when the generation died off that had saw what God had done, they quit serving God. That's exactly what happened. That's why I said every generation must make the God of their fathers their God. Because when those generations died off, they quit serving God. Verse number 29, and Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses. Look at this. And did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. Why? After they saw the signs. Now, I'm not being spooky here, okay? I'm not talking about, 900-foot Jesus in a dream, okay? And this is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, is there something that you've asked God for? Brother Joe, you've had to ask God for things.
Yes, sir.
Is there something you're going to ask God for, or are you just going to float through life on the spirituality coattails of your parents or the spirituality coattails of your pastor? The young adults in here that are still serving God, I guarantee you there's a time in their life when they've said, I want that God to be my God. I want their God to be my God.
Amen.
If they haven't, do you know the only reason that they're still... Listen to me. If they haven't ever, this is for all the young adults, myself included, if we don't take this and we just do what we're supposed to do just to make our parents happy or the church members happy or our pastor happy, what happens when they're gone? What happens when troubles come? What happens when you've got a disease? You got to go back to God, and there's only who was on that mountain? Two people, God and Moses. Abraham, like I said, Abraham was not there. His father wasn't there. Isaac wasn't there. Jacob wasn't there. It had to be Moses and God. Moses and God. I don't know. I want God to use me. I want God to use me. I rely, and I'm not lying on this, I greatly appreciate the prayers of all of our older folks. But when all of our older folks are gone, I don't want me to be gone too. Because I want this to be my God. Young people, you want to be here in 10 years?
It's got to be my God.
Amen.
Can't be your bus captain's God. It's got to be my God. When you don't make it your God, as a daddy, I want to help my kids and I want to pray for my kids and I want to encourage them. But there are some things that they're going to have to struggle through where they have to go to God themselves.
Right.
To make it through it.
Amen.
I can't babysit them their whole life. I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be dead. I'll be in the nursing home. I'll be whatever.
That's the truth.
But I want their God. I want them to say, well, my daddy had a good God. But I want it to be my God for them too.
Uh-huh.
I want to train them to do that. I want to help them to do that. And this is for all of us. This isn't just for young people. If we're not careful in life, a lot of times I think, and this is true with me anyway, I don't know, maybe everybody's a lot more spiritual, I don't know. You get to pleasing people. I do what I do because, man, I want a certain number back there on the board for my bus because, man, I don't want everybody to go back there and look and see that we didn't have very many people. When that's not that's not really the reason. That's not the reason I should do that. Young people, I do what I do. When I was your age, I did what I did. I didn't have a God. My God, this wasn't my God until probably I went to college. There was a couple instances when I was in high school, guys, that, God slapped me upside the head. I didn't understand. I broke stuff I don't know why I broke stuff, but I broke stuff on my physically. Where I couldn't do what I wanted to do. And you know what God was trying to do? He said, stick your hand in your shirt. And when I pulled back out and it was leprous, I got hurt. You know what I did? I bucked on it. I said, psh. So, I didn't learn from my hurts. And there's going to be a lot of hurts. I guess this morning, if you could do anything, remember this statement: every generation must make the God of their fathers their God. If not, 20, 30 years from now, this church won't be here. My generation, those of my generation, we've got to make God, the God of our fathers, our God. Because Pastor Ross won't be here forever. Wish he would, but he's not. So, like I said, it's not something you can do this morning necessarily. But you need to find something that you can get a hold of God about. And make God my God. That's my God. It's my God. If you never asked Jesus in your heart to save you, that's the first step. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, listen, there ain't no way you're going to make... You got to get that settled first. This is more of a Christian type, or for Christians this morning. But if you're not saved, you got to make God your Savior before you make Him your God. He has to be your Savior first before He can be your God. So if you've never done that, that's something you ought to get taken care of this morning. But in 10 years, I don't know where I'll be. I want to be in the center of God's will. That's wherever that is, that's where I want to be. But if I'm not here, I want to see these guys here. These ladies. I want to see everybody. Everybody here. Will you make His God, their God, make it my God? Let's pray, Father. Lord, I don't feel like I did good this morning. I pray that You would just... use these lips of clay and what was said this morning, Lord, just to... I know there's, like I said, not a whole lot of decisions that can really be made, Lord, maybe this morning, God, but it helps just to take this with us. Lord, I did this some for the young people that ride the buses. God, I don't want them to drop off and never come back. And Lord, I want them to be servants of You, Lord, and Help them just to make the God of their bus captains their God. Help the young people that drive in, help them to make the God of their parents their God, or the God of their pastor their God. Help them just to go from their God to my God. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be a better daddy to my kids, to train them up to recognize the fact that they need to make their daddy's God my God. Lord, I pray that you just help us this morning. Work as you would. In Jesus' name, amen.